Good evening, family. Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27? Last week, we ended off in verse 27. We're going to start in verse 28, but just kind of a quick review for us. Last week, we looked at Isaac. He was planning to bless Esau, going against the word of God. Rebekah, she wanted the blessing to go to Jacob. So she forced her plan, deceiving her husband and then using Jacob as well. Jacob, living up to his name, deceiver, supplanter, the one that trips you up, he agreed to help mom's plan in deceiving his father, taking advantage of the fact that Isaac, his eyes were going dim, he couldn't really see. His senses weren't that great. Esau, he did exactly what he was told, but he was rejected by God. He didn't care about having a relationship with the Lord. And he threw the spiritual things away of God into the trash can, basically. It's like if I personally constantly reject God and his ways, I mean, how can I even think the Lord will bless me? Esau doesn't see that, but that's what he was doing. Because he's not a spiritual man, the Bible says. He's a man of the flesh. But this whole plan of deception and lies by Rebekah and Jacob leaves everyone in the family defeated and deflated, including them. See, God spoke and God promised the blessing would go to Jacob. That's what the Lord says. The Lord doesn't say how he's going to unravel his plan, but the end result was Jacob was the chosen one. Later on, we're going to see that this family is going to have to deal with their consequences. This family, they were tested by the Lord. They were tested in patience. They didn't pray. They didn't wait on the Lord. Isaac and Rebekah were even told, once again, the end result, and they still failed because it was their way over the Lord's way. Isaac tried to bless Esau behind closed doors, so to speak. So Rebekah counters with her plan, and that divides the family. And we're going to see that latter half of this chapter. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, just for your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak, Lord, just into our hearts. Lord, many of us have gone through this chapter, and we know that we know the story. But I pray that you would give us fresh application, Lord. I pray that it would be fresh in our hearts, Lord, tonight by your Spirit. We just thank you again, Lord, for your word. And we pray that you would be blessed in our study, Lord, of you. Lord, help us and teach us, Lord, to not be like this Christian dysfunctional family. Help us, Lord, to guard against that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So chapter 27, we're going to start off in verse 28. We're going to do verse 28 and verse 29. In verse 28, actually in verse 27, Isaac confirms that this is Esau that he's blessing when it's actually Jacob in like disguise. But anyway, verse 28, so now Isaac, he's actually going to give the blessing. He says, "Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." So remember, Isaac thinks he's blessing Esau when it's actually Jacob. And right at what I love, actually right out of the gates in verse 28, Isaac says, "May God give you." It's important to note because it's not like Isaac is speaking this blessing and it's coming from Isaac. No. The blessing was determined and given solely by the Lord. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Right? Everything comes from the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings. Exactly. It was already purposed in the Lord's heart to bless Jacob. Nehemiah 9:6 says this, "You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts. the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. So all Isaac was doing was prophetically proclaiming the ability of the Lord to supernaturally bless Esau, Jacob. And notice, the blessing was over two major elements from God. The first part was over weather, the dew of heaven. It was rain, water. This was a desert. Israel was like a desert arid. It was a dry land. Rain was everything for survival. It was drinking water for the family. It was for flocks, herds, washing, cleaning. You needed rainwater to grow your crops and vegetation. You needed rainwater at the right time in the right season as well. Isaac even fought over wells of water with the men of Gerar at the end of Genesis 26. The fatness of the earth could mean livestock and cattle, but water on the earth produced fruit and vegetation. That's fatness of the earth also. The abundance of grain and new wine also comes from rain. Ezekiel 34:26 says, I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. Also, the tree of the field will yield its fruit, and the earth will yield its increase, and they will be secure on their land. They will know that I am the Lord. It's the Lord. The second part of the blessing covered people. Nations and peoples will serve you and bow down to you. Isaac is he's referencing what the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. He says this, the Lord says this to Abraham, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The Lord confirms the same covenant with Isaac. In Genesis 26, verses 3 to 5, the Lord says this to Isaac, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. Excuse me. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And because Isaac was obedient to the Lord's will and way, Genesis 26, 12, 14 says this about Isaac. Now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Or he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Blessings follow obedience to God's word, not necessarily money or monetary. It could be a second family. It could be a husband, a wife. It could be a child, adopted child. It could be your job, but everything is according to the Lord. In the next chapter in Genesis 28, actually verses 13 to 15, the Lord's going to confirm the same covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and he's going to do it with Jacob. It's still up to Jacob whether he wants to follow the Lord or not. But what we see is the Lord is faithful to what he says. He's faithful to his promises, initiating blessings if you obey me. He blesses and uses imperfect people to do his perfect will. Verse 30. Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. So Isaac gives the blessing. Isaac is thinking, the Lord allowed me to bless Esau. I'm not rebuked. The Lord doesn't show up. Jacob leaves his father after the blessing. He's taking the dishes back to the kitchen. He's high-fiving mom in the kitchen. We got it. I got it. I got the blessing. They're celebrating. Now, Esau comes in from his hunting. He still has to prepare the food, so it's going to take some time. But celebration is on one side of the house. The other side, it's about to get ugly, real ugly. I imagine Esau was in good spirits, kind of like Christmas, you know, except he didn't have to, like, know what was in the wrapping. Like, he already knew, he knew exactly what he was getting. Everything that he ever wanted was going to be his, so he thinks. He's making his dad's meal. He's excited. Today is about me. I'm getting what belongs to me, what is rightfully mine. Let's read verse 31 and 32. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." So Isaac naturally asks the question, "Well, what? Who are you? I already gave the blessing to Esau. Or did I?" I believe as soon as Esau spoke, Isaac was like, "Oh no, what did I do?" Because remember, last week, out of his five senses, his hearing was the one that told him the truth. Now he realizes he blessed Jacob. Esau may have been taken aback because he's like, "Wait, what? Who am I? I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. You told me to hunt game, prepare it for you." Look at what happens in verse 33. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of all of it before you came?" And blessed him, "Yes, and he shall be blessed." So Isaac trembled violently. The Hebrew word for trembled is hared. It means like terrified. The Hebrew word for violently is harada. It means extreme anxiety. So these two have come upon Isaac right now. Isaac is actually overcome with conviction. That's the trembling. He realizes all at the same time, the Lord is not in my plan to bless Esau. He knows he was deceived now by Jacob, because he's going to confirm that in verse 35. And once the blessing went out, once it was given, you could never take it back. Isaac could not take it back. It was settled like a contract. It could not be changed, annulled, ratified, altered in any way. It was permanent. It was sealed. Everything that Isaac owned now belongs to Jacob, the double portion of the birthright. At this very moment for Isaac, though, faith was born. Because he confirms to Esau, Jacob, he's going to be blessed. He knows it's Jacob. It's the Lord's plan. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. In fact, it doesn't even seem like faith. It's just more like deceit. It's kind of like by deception. But it was by faith. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Isaac knew. He knew what the Lord had said regarding this blessing. Now he's giving Esau the bad news. Verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. And he said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Esau's cry was genuine. There was a deep hurt there. Everything he thought he was getting now belongs to Jacob, his brother. He's trying to come to grips. He's like, "How did I lose this? Like, how is it possible? It's impossible. The birthright, the blessing, that belongs to me." And he's still asking, "Is there anything left for me?" So he knows that the blessing's gone. Esau wanted the material things over the spiritual things of the Lord. That's one of the problems that we actually have here in the world today, our flesh, its status. We judge people by what we think they have. Sometimes we may compare ourselves to them and want what they have, drive a nice car, wear a nice suit. You must be rich. Not necessarily. Sometimes people display what they want others to perceive them to be. The look is more important because it makes me feel better about myself. But our eyes are focused on the blessing and not the blesser. Esau was looking at the material. He wanted the riches and the stability of being wealthy, but he didn't acknowledge the one who gives the blessing, the Lord. I think about Esau's family as well. I'm just speculating. Did he talk to them? Did he say, hey, the blessing's happening today. We're going to be good. My dad's going to bless me today. I got everything. We don't know. But when we look at the relationship between Esau and the Lord, that's an unequally yoked relationship. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, do two men walk together unless they have made an agreement, or do two men walk together unless they agree? Esau chose to go his own way, to be unequally yoked from the Lord. It wasn't the Lord that turned away, it was Esau. And because of that, he lost his birthright and the blessing that comes with it. Verse 35. And he said, and this is Isaac to Esau, and he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Notice here, Isaac doesn't take responsibility for his mistake. He points the finger and blames Jacob. I'm old, I can't see, my senses are not that good. Yeah, Jacob did come deceitfully, but at the same time, Isaac was the very one who gave the blessing, and he gave it away, knowing Esau wasn't God's choice. Isaac could have called Rebecca. He could have said, who is this in front of me? And Rebecca would have been like, even though it's Jacob, she would say, it's Esau, when it's actually Jacob. He'd be like, okay, where's Jacob? I don't know, hon. I sent him outside in the field or whatever. Like, go get him. We're going to wait. Because I'm determined to bless Esau. So go get him. We'll wait. Isaac doesn't do that. He ignored the Lord's choice. He gave the blessing away to the right person. God's choice. The fault also lies with Isaac. He is the spiritual leader in the house, is he not? If he just obeyed the Lord, the family wouldn't be in this mess. Verse 36. Then he said, this is Esau telling Isaac, is he not rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Now Esau makes his excuse. He too doesn't take responsibility for his actions and his own character. Two things we see here. Number one, he took away my birthright. Bro, you sold it for a bowl of soup. You didn't care about it. You freely and willingly gave it up. The Bible says you despised it, which means he was just like, whatever. I don't care about it. And two, Esau says, he has taken away my blessing. You lost a blessing when you sold your birthright. How can you want all of the riches of the family and despise the very thing the riches come under, your birthright? It's the same thing as saying, I want salvation, but I don't want Jesus. I want salvation for me to be safe, but I still want to live the way that I live, in the flesh. I want to be good that way on my terms. No. You're saying I don't want to follow the very one who paid for my salvation. Doesn't make sense. But that's Esau. This is where Esau is at. That's his excuse. Verse 37. But Isaac replied to Esau, behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son? So Isaac confirms now to Esau. Sorry, bro, it's going to be Jacob. It's Jacob. I have empowered Jacob with all that I have and all that I own, and I cannot take it back. I have sustained him. Therefore, I can't do anything for you. Remember faith with Isaac, right? Isaac now settles in his mind. It was the Lord's way from the beginning. It's the Lord's way now. This is where faith is being born. because Isaac is doing exactly what the Lord said. The Lord has already spoken it. What he says, the Lord's going to finish. Verse 38, Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Esau is still pleading. Is there any other blessing that you may have forgotten? Is there anything left for me that you can give me? Hebrews 12, 16 to 17 says this about Esau. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. We'll get to that. Though he sought for it with tears. The repentance that they're talking about here is not forgiveness. I like what Henry Morris says about this. He says, "It's not a question of forgiveness. God's forgiveness is always open to the penitent or the humble. Esau could have come back to God, but he could not undo his act." It reminds me, there are many in the world who reject Christ, and they will reject Jesus, and they will not be able to undo their decision of salvation as well. We have the here and now to decide for the then and there in heaven. But it must be in Jesus. It must be in the Spirit. Jesus says you must be born again. John 6:63 says the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for zero, nothing. And because Esau is looking for just one blessing from his father, Isaac prophetically lays out his future. Let's look at verse 39 and verse 40. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve, but it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck." Everything opposite of your brother, you will be and you're going to go. You will live by the sword, which means you're going to fight for everything that you get. And later, you will break his yoke from your neck. The breaking of the yoke was actually a pretty good study. The offspring of Jacob are the Jews. The descendants of Esau were a nomadic people known as the Edomites. Edom occupied the area east of the Dead Sea, which is like today Jordan. They were at war with Israel from Moses to King Saul, past David and Solomon, and all through the book of Kings. In 2 Kings 8:20, the Bible says this, "In his days, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves." So they won their freedom. But they would be conquered in the future by the Nabataeans, an Arab people. Edom's name would be changed to Idumea. Antipater of Idumea was King Herod's father. King Herod, an Edomite or Idumean, became governor of Judah. He had some problems with his leadership, so he runs to Rome. He complains. He's like, "Oh, I'm having problems over there." Rome declares him king of Judah. Rome sides with him, makes him king and ruler of Judah, an Edomite schooled in Judaism. Bible commentators will say, this is the breaking of the yoke. Esau was under Jacob all this time, and then now we have an Edomite that's ruling the Jews. And notice, the so-called blessing Isaac gives to Esau sounds more like a curse, actually, because it's everything opposite of what he told Jacob. But in chapters to come, we'll actually see that Esau was a blessed man. The Lord was still watching over him. Verse 41. Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported, So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob." Esau holds a grudge. Bitterness and jealousy, they both scream, I'm entitled. The focus is on self. It's all about me. What I don't have, why I don't have it, and what I can do, even killing my own blood for satisfaction. Ephesians 4:31 tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. This is what the Bible says about jealousy. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? We thought wrath and anger were bad. Jealousy is like the kingpin, like of this group. Proverbs 6:34 says, for jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. For Esau, nothing like waiting for your dad to die so I can kill my brother. The only thing that's stopping Esau from killing Jacob, Isaac is still alive. The Hebrew term for bore a grudge against is satam. It means to cherish animosity against. It means I love to hold hatred against my enemy. Back in Genesis chapter 4, there were two other brothers that we know. The Bible says in Genesis 4:8 that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Why? Jealousy. Jealousy leads to hatred. Hatred leads to murder. 1 John 3:15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It's not physically committing the act. It's what's going on in your heart. Jesus even says, if you think it, basically, you've already done it. And right now, Esau's coming up with this plan to kill Jacob. Verse 42 and 43. Now, when the words of her elder son, Esau, were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son, Jacob, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Probably a servant told Rebekah the news, so she quickly calls Jacob. She breaks the news to him. She says, hey, your brother's, he's planning to kill you. This is what Esau feels right now. He's been cheated out of the blessing. Jacob came, he deceived me, he deceived my father, took away what was rightfully mine. If I'm not getting the blessing, I'm going to make sure that he doesn't get it either. In verse 43, Rebekah says, obey my voice. Jacob's probably thinking, obey your voice. I did that the last time. Look at what happened. Now I'm running for my life. And Jacob has no idea he's going to run to the king of deceivers, his uncle Laban. You thought Rebekah and Jacob's deception were bad. Laban will deceive Jacob not once, not twice, not three times, but for years he's going to deceive Jacob. The Lord will teach Jacob what it's like to be on the receiving end of deception, but the Lord's going to be with him. The awesome thing about the Lord is that he will bless Jacob as he's teaching him while he's there with his uncle Laban. Verse 44 and 45. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? A few days would turn into some 20 years, which tells us it took that long for Esau's anger to cool down. Because Rebekah, she doesn't call Jacob in that time. So Esau is like, he's still fuming. And by the time that Esau cools down, Rebekah dies. Again, that was the curse that came back to revisit Rebekah in verse 13. She says, your curse be on me, my son. Just don't worry about it. Get them for me. I don't think Rebekah thought it would come to murder. Jacob never thought that he'd be running for his life from his brother. These were unforeseen consequences that came back to revisit both of them. Some in our lives we can predict. You know, we see the ripple effect and the damage. Other times, we cannot. This is one of those times. Rebecca and Jacob, they couldn't. And what happens is we have to go through that suffering, dealing with our consequences as well. In verse 45, Rebecca doesn't even take responsibility also or apologize for her mistake. She says this to Jacob. She says, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. She was the one that came up with the master plan. Jacob carried it out. She's just as guilty, right? Then she says, why should I be bereaved of both of you in one day? Meaning they would both kill each other. And remember, they're not kids. They're in their 70s. Technically 77, actually. But look at how deception and lying and planning have torn this family apart. More importantly, the parents never prayed the Lord's intervention in this situation. And our last verse, verse 46. Rebecca said to Isaac, I'm tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these, meaning Esau's wives, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? At the end of chapter 26, the Bible says Esau's wives, Canaanite women, they brought grief to Rebecca and Jacob. Obviously, Rebecca disagreed with the lifestyle of the Canaanite people. They did everything that was detestable in the Lord's sight. After the Jews actually come out of bondage in Egypt, Joshua will cross the Jordan River and he's going to conquer the Canaanite tribes. It seems the Canaanite lifestyle and practices stayed also for hundreds of years. While the Jews were in bondage in Egypt, the Canaanite tribes were growing. They had all kinds of radical worship. They were killing their babies in the fire. All of that. Hundreds of years. And then later on, Joshua comes back and he conquers it all. The Lord says, spare nobody. Conquer them all. The Lord will judge them using Joshua and the nation of Israel. Rebecca, she's like, what good is my life if Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of this land? So she tells Isaac, I'm going to send Jacob to my brothers. That's an excuse to get Jacob out of the house because Esau wants to kill him. This is a Christian family. This is what's going on. Both parents had relationships with the Lord. The Lord even spoke and answered their prayers. They had communion. They had fellowship with the Lord. What happened? Well, no inviting the Lord into their lives. No inviting the Lord into their problems. No prayers at home. No seeking the Lord. No worship. No communication between parents. No communication between parents to children. No training the children up in the fear of the Lord. Esau and Jacob, in this chapter, they don't even know the Lord. And they're adults. What was Isaac and Rebecca doing all this time? They never taught. If we're not training our children up in the fear of the Lord, who trains them? The world? Yeah. The flesh? Yes. The enemy? Yes. Sunday and Wednesday services are not enough. The other 5 days, the kids are in the world. But at least all 7 days they're at home. So I hope, but Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he's not going to depart from it. We don't want to look like this family. Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, Jacob, everyone lost. Everyone. It could have been avoided. There's so many things that went wrong in this family. I shoulda, coulda, would have. It's the Lord. The Lord brings stability. If we commit our way to the Lord, if we invite him into every part of your life, no matter how small that is, the Lord wants that. If we read his word, if we do what he says, we're on the right track, at least to victory. Amen? Amen. That's it, guys. Let's stand. Let's call the worship team. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much just for the insight, Lord, that we get from learning from this family. Father, I pray that we would not make the same mistakes. Lord, family is so important. From you to parents to their children, Father, I just pray that, Lord, you do a mighty work in each and every one of us here. Every family that's here represented tonight, those that are listening, KLI Radio, Lord, you want to be in our lives. You want to be in every, even small detail of our life. Lord, we pray that it's by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we live and move and breathe. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to obey you. Help us, Lord, to pass on the things that we learn from you, that we get fed, that we might teach, Lord, our children, training them up in the ways of you, Lord, when they're older, that they would not depart from it. Maybe during their time, they might have a season, Lord, where they walk away. We don't know, but Lord, your word is true. You're faithful. Kids will come back. They will. That's your promise. So, Father, help us, Lord, to love you more. And we thank you again for the mistakes that are here in your word that we can glean from, that we can learn. Thank you again for chapter 27, Lord. We love and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen. God bless you guys.